In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I spent a lot of time yesterday delving into the theology and the thought of our Father among the Saints, Gregory Palamas, Archbishop of Thessalonica. And the church thought enough about his teaching that only 9 years after his repose, he was glorified as a saint. And it was determined that this second Sunday in Lent should be dedicated to him. So it shows you the gravitas with which the church has considered the things that he taught. Yet in thinking about the things that he taught, I've got to tell you that my mind is about as cluttered as it has ever been after spending this time with him. And believe me, my mind has been very cluttered many times before. And so I thought to myself, what exactly can I say to you? How can I explain this teaching to you when I'm not sure I completely understand it myself? Well, I have history on my side because this has happened many times and it's not stopped me before. So I'll go ahead and try to explain a little bit about what this big controversy in the church was about. It all comes down really to one thing, and that is, can we know God personally? Is that really possible? And that's what was at stake here. There were a lot of monks on Mount Athos at that time who were following an ages-old tradition of saying the Jesus Prayer, and we're claiming to be able to see the divine light. Now, there was a man named Barlaam, the Calabrian he's called. He was actually a Greek monk who thought that of Orthodoxy as being his church, but yet he was spending much of his time in southern Italy and was raised according to the dictates of the philosophy that was going on at that point in time. And that philosophy was very much of a part with the teaching of Augustine and then later with Thomas Aquinas, which essentially said that God in his essence, that we cannot possibly know at all because he is in his essence, would communicate to us only through created things, things that he had to make in order to get his will known to us. Now, St. Gregory was defending these monks who saw the divine light because Barlaam was saying what they're doing is blasphemy. They can't see the divine light. That's impossible because that's part of the essence of God. They cannot do that. Well, Barlaam didn't understand, first of all, that they weren't talking about necessarily seeing a physical light, although that's certainly what happened at the Transfiguration with the disciples. No. He was completely wrong in this. They were talking about a spiritual light, a spiritual sense of being able to apprehend who God was. Now, Barlaam thought that we had to look to philosophy, to the mind, to begin to understand the things of God. And St. Gregory, although he was not against philosophy or science, thought that they were two completely different things when we're talking about philosophical sciences, about physical sciences, versus the idea of theology itself and knowledge about God. He felt that there was no fear that the church need have from any side of philosophy or physical sciences, but that the theology of God was something completely different and it had to be approached differently. Barlaam, believing that the essence of God also contained his energies, was in a bit of a difficult spot because that meant that if God somehow was trying to deal with us, then the confusion between the essence and energies being only part of God's essence meant that the persons of the Holy Trinity and their relationship were the same thing, the same God stuff, as the creation of the world, which would lead to some sort of pantheism, the divinization of the things in the world, making them as if they are God. But Gregory, insisted that there were essence and energies in God, but that the energies were not part of his essence. Bar-Lam began to believe then that if that was the case, well, if you can't distinguish, or if you have to distinguish between the essence and energies of God, then you are completely corrupting the Trinity altogether. The discussion here gets a lot more complex than what I'm just laying out in front of you now. It's extremely difficult to follow all of the arguments that Bar-Lam was throwing at Gregory and that Gregory is defending the Orthodox faith against Bar-Lam. But suffice it to say that the idea of the essence and energies in God mean that essence and energies are no less God, okay, than anything else. Essence and energies are pure God. And the energies are what he uses to create the world, to come to us in prayer. Like we see in the gospel today, the paralytic that was mentioned today. Christ didn't come to him and say, well, let me give you a philosophy about why you are as you are. And I want you to consider this. Let me give you thought. Let me let you think about this. No, Christ, as full God and full man, but nonetheless full God, came and raised that paralytic through the idea of his divine energies that were at work. It's a very tricky thing we're talking about, and some might think, well, does this really matter? But it does matter because it goes to the very fact of who God is and how he acts with us. When we talk about essence, all of us have an essence, okay? We all have a certain essence. And if we blink, or if we move, or if we think, we are putting energy into work, okay? In that way, it's the same sort of thing with God. He has his essence, which is unknown to us, but his action with us in the creation of the world and in the way that he responds to each of us is part of God, no less than our energy is part of us, but it's separate from what our essences really are. Tough distinctions, I know. And I can't even begin to explain some of the nuances of these arguments. Gregory went on to write three different treatises called the Triads, and each one of them had three portions that were talking about Bar-Lam and the things that he was saying. And he ended up being persecuted for all of this. He spent some years in prison because of these things that he was saying. But ultimately, the church came to his defense through three separate councils called because of this. Even Gregory's, he was mentor to a man named Agendinos, who was eventually to turn against him later on. And that was very unfortunate because it hit Gregory very personally, because he was trying to establish some sort of mediation between Bar-Lam and Gregory, and he was really failed to do so in the end. But these councils, which today are actually recognized as ecumenical councils, really the 8th and 9th ecumenical council of the Orthodox Church, came to Gregory's defense because they saw how important it was that what started with these monks came trickling down to every single Christian in their relationship with God. Because as we saw at the Transfiguration, we can see the divine light. What did we hear in the Beatitudes today? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This was not by way of analogy. This was not by way of some kind of metaphor, but in reality, we can see God, but we have to be pure in heart. This is what the monks were attempting to do with their prayer and their repentance. They were coming clean, as it were, to be able to apprehend the invisible God who comes in his energies, but yet is completely unknowable to us. Gregory was very clear about that. He said that no natural reason, no natural perception can tell us anything about God. We cannot discern him. We cannot discern him in reality. We may be able to come up with reasons why we think that belief of God in God is rational and reasonable, but to actually understand who God is, to actually touch him, we can't do that. We cannot do that. That's why Christianity is considered a revealed religion. God is the Lord and has revealed himself unto us. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Without that revelation, knowledge of God is simply impossible. But that's the great thing about our faith, because God himself has come to us. He has not only come to us in his divine energies, but he has come to us in a person, a human being, and told us what God is like. It's an extraordinary thing. And if you ever get a chance to, you could probably go online and see some of the triads. St. Gregory's, some of his work is also present in, I think it's the fourth volume of the Philokalia as well, where he talks about some of these things. But it's a mind-numbing sort of discussion, because they use philosophical terms and things that were learned in the schools in Athens and elsewhere. But yet Gregory keeps coming back to the scriptures themselves and says, look, every page of the scripture shows that God comes to us, that we can know him and know him directly, like Moses did in the burning bush, like the pillar of fire that kept Pharaoh from coming after the Hebrews before they crossed the Red Sea, like the transfiguration where the disciples saw the glory of the Lord, even the glory of the Lord that was apprehended at the Lord's baptism. All these things were genuinely God, real God, not created effects, not delusions, as Balaam thought that the monks on Mount Athos were seeing. They were real. They were tangible. They could be seen. They were spiritual. They were noetic, but they were no less real for that. And that was what Gregory was ultimately saying to us. God comes to each and every one of us individually, in our prayers, in our supplications, in the way he directs our lives, in his providence, all of these things. But it is really God. It's not a phantom. And we might think, well, why, you know, why would this even be an issue? To us, it's obvious. God comes to us, right? We know this. We should know it. But yet at that time, when philosophy was on the rise, particularly in the West, which has continued on to this day, because they still don't recognize Gregory Palamas. They still believe that the essence of God is completely unknowable to us, and that God comes among us through creations that he makes, whether it's grace or any other created thing, that it's not really God, it's just a vehicle for his message, so to speak. To us, that sounds ridiculous. Because as Orthodox Christians, we know that God is present among us. We know that his grace is made manifest. It's made manifest in his body and blood that we receive every week. If we could see each other as we should, if we were that pure in heart, after each one of us receives Holy Communion, we would see fire coming out of that chalice. We would see fire going into one another's mouths in the reception of Holy Communion, because that's the same grace that was seen on Mount Tabor. That is the same grace that Moses saw in the burning bush. The fire of God, the divine brilliance, the light of God, real and genuine, that touches all of us. But I don't want you to get confused with all this, because the more I talk about it, actually, the very real possibility that I'm going to stumble into some horrible heresy if I haven't already. So even to apprehend the things that Gregory said takes a pure heart. It takes someone who can sit back and understand the things of God without any of the clutter of their human lives and human foibles and human sins getting in the way. But it can be done. And this is what Gregory wants us to know. As I mentioned, he was glorified only 9 years after his departure. He died when he was 63 years of old. It took years before he could even assume his see in Thessalonica, because the crowds were so against him at that point. But yet, he prevailed. He did prevail. And on his deathbed, he said twice these wonderful words. He said, to the heights, showing that even then, at the end of his life, he was thinking of the uncreated divine energies of God, which make all of us godlike. Not that we can ever know the essence of God. We will never know that the Mother of God, the angels in heaven, the cherubim and the seraphim going about the throne, even they do not understand the essence of God, and they never will. But through God's grace, through His divine energies, we participate in Him no less, no less at all. So remember this when you receive Holy Communion today. Remember that it is fire. It is fire as it comes to us. And it does illuminate us from within. And we can thank Gregory Palamas, the Archbishop of Thessalonica and a marvelous wonder worker, for having established this firmly in our minds when the Orthodox faith was under attack. Amen.